is coming up in the next segment. I want to talk about all the secret weapons he first reported on years ago, they're not admitting, and so much more, but Epstein first, and we've got the great Thomas Siska, incredible researcher writing Shotgun, but let's finish up with this. So we have in all these emails, we already showed a bunch, and we'll show them again. Scopolamine, the zombie drug, what they use in Haiti to make people think, they bury them and make them think they're a zombie, now they're a slave. They use it all over to drug men, prostitutes, you already covered that. Here's Serpent in the Rainbow, the 80s or whenever it came out, dealing with the true story of this, and you got Epstein and a whole bunch of emails saying they're using scopolamine. Here it is.
From Wes Craven, director of A Nightmare on Elm Street, comes a story of the forbidden world between life and death.
There's a door to the mystical.
And you just walked through it.
Somebody brought him back from the grave. And I want to know how they did it.
Death is not the end.
I'll take your soul.
You think you can take these people's secrets? Then just walk away.
In the shadows of the imagination lies the ultimate nightmare.
Don't let them bury me. I'm not dead.
The Serpent and the Rainbow.
So that's what we're talking about here. Show them the emails.
So Epstein in his emails is saying, ask Chris about my trumpet plants at nursery. Will do. So he's got the trumpet plants on the island.
They say scopolamine.
Scopolamine produces scopolamine. And then here's another one. The subject is scopolamine, powerful drug growing in the forests of Colombia that eliminates free will.
And we haven't talked about vaccines eliminate free will, too.
That's right. And then if you saw on that that trailer for Blink Twice, like you said, the exact topography was Epstein's Island.
Oh, let's put a live tweet out. Jeffrey Epstein used scopolamine for mind control. Let's put that out. That's important. Go ahead.
And then Zoe Kravitz, in a way, is blowing the whistle because she's been at these parties with Diddy, with her father. Notice in the movie, they're all wearing white. Everything, every little detail about this movie is exactly P. Diddy, Epstein, all that.
And that movie is?
Revealed it in the movie, Blink Twice. And I mean, the power of this drug... Scopolamine acts incredibly fast, often within minutes, putting people in a highly suggestible state where they lose free will, suffer total memory blackouts, and become extremely compliant. I mean, that is like a demon's wet dream right there, to be able to control someone like that. It's insane. And they're growing it all over the island. And going back to all the models that turned into actors... with Abercrombie and Fitch.
Then they control them and use them for sex ops. And that's why you have the movie Scanner Darkly updated that I helped rewrite for Rick Linkletter and Keanu Reeves. We updated it for a plant like scopolamine.
Yes.
2006, when you can see the movie.
Ashton Kutcher.
I'll write the script.
Ashton Kutcher, who was another one of the models, started dating Mia Kunis when she was underage. He was a lot older than her. And he's said several times in a video about, oh, I can't wait till this girl's old enough. Hillary Duff, she's only 15. I mean, his whole thing was, I'm the older guy that is going to groom these young girls and give them...
Well, this is a control system. Former Wall Street Journal writer and incredible researcher on Deep State, dark journalist Daniel List joins us. Stay here with us, Thomas Siska. This is so important. I want to get him on about secret weapons they're now admitting, that bend time and space. We'll hit that, too. But I want to first get his intake on Epstein. I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Fixed bayonets. We're on the offense. The Empire's on the run or a march.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, this is going to be an incredible third hour. And then Jason Burmes takes over at the four, but we can probably take a little bit of his time. He understands that if we need more time with Dark Journalist, darkjournalist.com, YouTube, Dark Journalist. Daniel List, if you want real stuff about advanced technology, hidden information, the esoteric, you're not going to get BS with him. We have people on that are right over and over again. That's our rule. So I've been trying to get him on for the last week about Trump was discombobulation weapons and stuff that controls time and space, and the White House science are saying that. We know they've got it. And I've been asking, you know, what is it? Have they found a way to energize and project the clock? We'll do that in the second part of the interview, but he wants to get into Epstein, so I'm glad. And we've got our great researcher, Thomas Sisker, riding shotgun with us here. We have a few other clips that we haven't gotten to. So let me do this up front. Now, we'll get to the Trump clips about the secret weapons in a moment. Let's go to Daniel List first about just the moment we're in history. The fourth turning, you can't deny what's even been released, the cannibalism, the devil worship, the secret societies, the advanced technology, the advanced physics, the human cloning, the sperm farms, the men getting women pregnant with their own child so that stem cells are better, killing the baby before it's born so it has no rights. All of this, the human surrogacy movement, some Chinese men with hundreds of children. I mean, this is us becoming a commodity right now. Then you have articles, the bachelor billionaire, Les Wexner, now in the files as a co-conspirator going back over a decade, which we knew he was running it, and tied into George Herbert Walker Bush and all the rest of it, and the CIA, saying in this article, the bachelor billionaire, who's an overhead shot, that he becomes possessed daily by a Jewish demon, D-U-B-B-U-K, and that Debook, and then he doesn't remember anything, a psychotic break. He's very serious about this. And then there are emails, I'm Baal, which is an even higher level, like number two to Satan, like Satan's archangel. And then you've got him saying, I'm possessed by this demon. And then you've got all the spirit cooking and blood drinking and killing kids and outright the sex slaves being delivered to the Hyatt. She ran her operation, but not properly. I beat her severely. I tortured her well. Oh, great. Woody Allen, all of these people, all these Hollywood people, this is, it's all coming out. There's no way they get out of this now. What will they pull now? Daniel List, what would you call this moment we're in right now?
It's transformative, absolutely, Alex, and it's great to be here with you. One of the fascinating things about everything that's rolling out right now is how much of it goes back to the things you were reporting in 2019 and 2020 when Epstein was grabbed and then after his untimely death. And it's so interesting how the headlines here are really validating all the things you were putting out at the time. And it takes that arc of catching up very often in the audience, in the culture at large. And now here we are arriving at that moment. Now, what's interesting to me when we get into it is there's two aspects when you deal with Epstein you have to deal with up front, which aren't covered very much. And that has to do with the cult of Belial. That's one piece, his obsession with Atlantis, with Ghislaine Maxwell going into the hot zone in the Bahamas, between the Bahamas and Cuba, and searching for Belial Atlantis ruins, and how the ranch out there in New Mexico is dedicated to Atlantis. There's a reason for this that goes
deep.
That's
right. In fact, she had the UN appoint her as the head of the UNC treaty. And she was the founder of the Clinton Foundation.
Yes, and Terramar is her group. That was the nonprofit organization, and she claimed when she was arrested that she was actually a citizen of Terramar.
Yeah, she said, I'm diplomatic immunity, she said.
Yes, exactly. And what's interesting, when she was grabbed, this isn't brought out very much either, but when she was grabbed in Bradford, New Hampshire, she was using the pseudonym Janet Atlantis. This is very telling. The whole group works with this theme very, very deeply. And what they're looking for is the conjuring of this Belial aspect, which is an advanced culture back in Atlantis and bringing that alive in the 21st century as we go to meet ourselves.
Belial is a top demon in the Bible.
Yes, exactly. Belial is one of the names for Baal, in fact. And it's interesting with Belial because there's a story back there that goes into the mystery text that has all to do with Amelius group versus the Belial group, and the Amelius group eventually being the kind of light school of the prophets type Christ group, and then Belial
and
being
names
the evil
his main
group.
Bank account Belial or Baal.
Yes, exactly. And that's interesting. The hints are there with him in Atlantis. And this is what gets me. When you're looking at what he's doing, he's trying to recreate it. That's where you get the whole eugenics obsession. This is a key part that's missing because he spent a lot of time down there. And now I've revealed the email
that's
directly.
We first learned about Atlantis from an acolyte of the idea of Atlantis. We know he's an Atlantean priest now, and that's Plato.
Yes. Exactly. And it's a very straight ahead. Now we have more information to deal with it, which is there is a culture that was back there that was more advanced than we are, and we're catching back up to it. There's a memory of it in the culture. And so they had advanced weaponry, and they basically destroyed themselves. But the idea is they were using kind of a spiritual psychic warfare when they were dealing with this. So when we're looking at it, what we're getting to is this is the belief system that goes into it. It's a tradition carried on through the mystery schools. And you get that through
and notice
Plato
Alexander Dugin advises Putin, says we're fighting the Atlanteans.
No doubt about it. Well, they believe it. There's no question about it. Actually, many of them think they're reincarnated Atlanteans. And that's where a lot of this story goes. Epstein is trying, when he's doing these types of eugenics experiments, to recreate the conditions of Atlantis. So,
but how
because
crazy
the
is
idea
that? This is not 20 years, but I've talked to Dugin. The Russians literally believe they're battling, quote, the Atlantean cult. That's what they call it.
Yeah. Well, think about the Belial cults and what's going on with the idea. When they go down there beneath the west tip of Cuba, they find that there are not just pyramids and things, but a vast metropolis. So there's been this war going on in this area called the Hot Zone down there for a long time. It's a geopolitical hotspot for the ruins. And what I found out when I was talking to military people and people who worked on mapping the ocean floor was that you can actually get court-martialed or you can get arrested, you can get sued if you reveal that you've seen anything like ruins down there. And famously, there was a woman named Polina Zelitsky who was in Cuba at the time doing this oceanography. Castro hired her and he said, oh, I want to look for Spanish galleons. And she went down there and found this vast metropolis. And as soon as she found it, it hit, you know, Washington Post, National Geographic, and everything else. Those Cuban pyramids were discovered, but they got rid of that story. And Castro...
Remember, William Cooper was on a submarine and stuff. When they saw these big flying saucers coming out of the water, the officer comes on later and says, you're going to prison if you say you saw that. You didn't see
exactly.
That. It's the same story.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very interesting that you brought up Cooper there because Cooper brought out the UFO file very early on in the heart of this. And it's interesting to me because
when
I was
for real. He was naval intelligence, tapped the whole deal.
Exactly. Right. And that story is a first person observation. But the idea of UFOs in the water, this is the USO piece, comes up over and over again. And it comes up particularly in that same area, strangely enough, which is in the hot zone between Cuba and Bimini. Now, one of the things
that's close
that
to Bermuda Triangle, right?
Exactly. It overlaps directly. It literally is the area between the tip of Florida, the Yucatan Peninsula, and the western tip of Cuba. It's its own kind of triangle. And
which
very strange things happen there.
Which is where Plato, in a book 2,300 years, or whatever it was, 2,025, 200-something years ago, said it is in the southwestern part of the Atlantic.
Exactly. He said it's past the Pillars of Hercules. And that's the Rock of Gibraltar, so that goes out. And nobody knows how to deal with that either. But what's interesting is that the story that Plato tells...
Troy was, they made fun of until 10 years ago, they found it.
Right, exactly. And once they found it, then it becomes part of the history. We've been going back and forth with this on the Atlantis story because there's a group that doesn't want anything about Atlantis out. You have these higher-level groups looking for those ruins. And they've spent time, money, and they have an entire mindset based around the ruins of Atlantis. The idea basically in the mystery schools about Atlantis goes to the idea that there was a gigantic conflagration that took place. Part of it was man-made and part of it was a comet. And the conflagration of the two split this continent into three different islands. And there was a group on one of the islands, which was the Emilius group. The other group was the Belial group. The Belial group is what the Epstein-Maxwell people were searching for.
And we'll talk about that. Just throwing in before I forget, and I apologize. You come back for tomorrow for 2 hours if you want. When you see Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's historical, that Hitler would have probably won the war if he didn't spend a third of the budget on archaeology in Tibet and the Middle East and North Africa. He was trying to find the Lost Ark and a bunch of other stuff. And they also dug up the seat of Satan in Baghdad and moved that to Berlin. He was totally obsessed with that, but so was the other Western elite. So you see this total obsession on finding this.
It is. It's the sacred objects that are going on, and they know the power of the sacred objects, and they worship the sacred objects. It's interesting, too, with Hitler, because he spent many years working with Himmler to develop the Annenerbe, which was to find the ancestry of the ultimate Aryan. And that, they actually searched to Tibet, but they also went to Central America. That one's not talked about too often. So they had this idea that there was an advanced culture back there that they were descendants of. So they were the descendants of this higher race, and as the result, the rule of the earth belonged to them.
Well, that's right. Aryan doesn't just mean white. They believe that's a hybrid with humans and aliens. So the whole Aryan race is about that.
They believe the Aryans.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Thomas.
The Aryans believe that they came from, I believe, the Himalayan region, the Hindu Kush Mountains, and actually emerged out of the ground and were actually people that came from the dirt and rose
from
the ground.
Which is Genesis.
Yes.
Eve's made out of dirt and the rib. Keep going.
Well, it makes sense what you're saying there, actually, because it's not just looking at it as it's a white thing with the Aryans, because obviously if they're going to Tibet and measuring their eyes and all the rest of it, they think that they're associated with the Tibetan bloodline. A lot of that piece, though, about Hitler and Atlantis is interesting because it centers on Antarctica. And Antarctica, in this way, is a kind of Valhalla waiting out there for them. This is where the future lies. This is where the new future is going to be, because when they've been going over the mystery texts in the Nazi regime, they see all these allusions to upcoming Earth changes. The Earth changes are something that we hear about over and over again. These groups seem to be aware that there's going to be a massive geophysical pole shift event that takes place, and that is going to shift the whole balance of power. And whoever rules in that moment becomes kind of the ruler of the galaxy.
And that's the whole COG preparation is for the cataclysm.
It is, yeah.
And we're told there's nuclear powers, but that's the cover for this preparation.
And they've found...
Yeah, I'm glad you...
Go ahead.
I was going to say that they found in, I believe, in China, in these remote villages, burial sites of mummies that have red hair, blonde hair, not Asian, and it actually predates.
Well, that's because in India and China, the ruling priest class 10,000 years ago were basically Viking derivation. They genetically tested them. Sorry, dark journalist, go ahead.
Yes, no, that's all very true. Actually, the red-headed mummy is a gigantic anomaly in the middle of all of this. Of the cone head skulls that are found in South America as well, they don't know what to make of it. They just say, oh, it's some kind of a grooming thing that they did early on. They would move the skull, the skull bones.
I've
soft.
Seen the photos of National Geographic. They're Norse mummies. These are Norse.
Yes, absolutely true. And I'll bring this back around to Epstein, because what's happening there is very fascinating to me. Epstein, at a certain point, if you go through the records of Virginia Giuffre and the whole bit about Prince Andrew and all the things he did with her in that court case, you're going to find a very odd piece in there, which is, we know that the Epstein-Maxwell team, they got all this blackmail on high-level people, politicians, financiers, you name it. But the scientists are the weirdest part for me. The name that I got drawn in by was Alexandra Cousteau. And Alex, you'll know this. She's the granddaughter of Jacques Cousteau, who was basically the ultimate Atlantis underwater researcher. The underwater world of Jacques Cousteau. And if you go back through the 70s and 80s, he has all of these different tours of that. Well, for some reason, Epstein and Maxwell were trying to get dirt, according to Virginia Giuffre, on Alexandra Cousteau. And I thought, this is very odd. Well, the other piece that came up in the middle of all
Cousteau
this was...
Yeah, what did Cousteau find?
Yes. Exactly. And he was down there. He wasn't likely to talk about it. This is the other piece. There's an awful lot going on underwater that we don't know anything about. So the underwater bases and the things that are set up at Autech over there in the hot zone, that's the underwater Area 51. So this is a whole other aspect.
The real space program is in the ocean.
Yes, absolutely. Excellent. It's an excellent point. One of the things I would say, though, the other unusual person in Giuffre's piece was that she said she was set up with Marvin Minsky. Marvin Minsky is over here at MIT. He was the guy who created AI. He's passed away now. But Epstein spent all this time with him. But his best friend, if you go really deep into Minsky, his best friend was someone named Margaret Adams. And she was the daughter of Colonel Sanders. Her name is Margaret Sanders. She's the daughter of Colonel Sanders. And she had the most extensive search for Atlantis group called MARS out there in the Bahamas. They're the ones who found the Bimini Road. They're the ones who are going for the underwater artifacts. They are right there in that same thing. So the Epstein-Maxwell team is going after Alexandra Cousteau for blackmail on one hand and Marvin Minsky, the ultimate AI guy with the ocean.
She had her submarine license. She could operate a submarine.
Yes, absolutely. Well, this is the other thing that gets us into the hot zone piece that's so fascinating, because the submarine driving that she was doing was a submarine called Atlantis that was specially equipped for Stephen Hawking. They wanted Hawking there, and they always make the jokes about Stephen Hawking. Well, what is he going to do on Epstein Island? You know, he had all these handicaps and everything else. Well, if you go deep, and you have to understand, if they found ruins of Atlantis, Hawking would be ultimate person to bring in, because he would be able to tell them about the magnetic anomalies and all the rest. That's what he's doing there. That's why the submarine is named Atlantis. So now I found a document. I put it actually in my X thread, and I did a documentary on it last week. And it is a document from Ted Waite, who was Ghislaine's lover right after Epstein. And he says in the email, we're searching for gold in Atlantis, and we're trying to get Fidel's permission to go off the western tip of Cuba. It's right there in the email. It's a smoking gun. And this is part of what comes out. You know, there's so many different things and so many different directions in there. The thing that I'm looking for is the obsession they had with Belial and the Atlantis cult. That piece needs to be brought out. And now we have...
And again, that email comes from the Justice Department. Belial.
It is B-E-L-I-A-L. Belial. And it is a different name for Baal.
Yeah, that's well known.
And
and have you seen the new stuff with Les Wexner literally saying he's possessed daily by a demon in mainstream news articles?
Yes.
I mean, what the hell's going on here?
Well, it's very interesting because it reminds me of your trip to Bohemian Grove many, many years ago, observing, you know, Moloch and the gigantic ceremony they were doing there. This is a deep, deep adult occult club. And when we look at it from that level, if they're operating on an occult level, then we on our own side need to look at them through the lens of their occult beliefs and teachings.
That's right. Their whole system is off off-world entities, call them aliens, you know, we call them demons. He says, I'm directed by a demon daily in newspaper articles. Les Wexner.
Right. So where do you go with that, right? That's very openly admitting. And they're just like, oh, yeah, you know, he's driven like a demon, isn't he? Well, he's giving you a lot. But I think at a certain point with a guy like Wexner, and we saw it with Epstein too, they lose the shame. And so they're just out there doing it. And at a certain point,
that's like Tony Podesta, 2007, publishes a whole magazine, Washington Post, called Dangerous Art with pedophilia.
Exactly.
That's part of lesser magic is they have to tell you what they're doing.
Exactly.
People ask me who the new Epstein is. They're externalizing it right now. They're trying to mainline it.
Then you have that
missing girl, the McCann girl,
and both suspects' sketches look exactly like John Podesta and his brother.
That's in Portugal, right?
Yeah. I mean, like spinning image.
Sorry.
We've got the whole Abramovich piece there as well. And she's, you know, parading around with Hillary Clinton. They've gone to a certain level where they think they can do no wrong. And I think what's been happening with them of late is they've hit a point of total hubris. And if they can overcome the total hubris and basically, you know, we just get thrown a few morsels to the crowd, then they're going to continue to do what they do. So when you were giving that very interesting speech to President Trump, which I think he should listen to, well, I think what you were saying there was, look, you know, there's no way to step around this. The best thing is to go mainline through it and to kind of break the control grid on that end.
Yes. Because
if you don't do that, then, you know, you run the risk of being hampered in your own efforts to run the country.
And if we know that and don't do it, we're accomplices. So that's why I'm done.
It is. It is. If you draw this back, you know, and I often like to do it through the historical lens, but if you go through the Kennedy lens, he faced off against the Central Intelligence Agency in the same fashion. So if he had backed off of what he was doing, they would have had full rule. He took them on. He was assassinated. In that era, you could get away with it. You know, they could take out a president and pull us into this kind of, you know, forgetting about it over time. But so many people in history looking at this don't forget. And so there's an echo back there that goes back, you know, years and years before we were even born.
There are Kennedy's rebellion even had to kill him, triggered the awakening. Kennedy's still winning.
Yes, it is. It's true. And here's the echo in the Trump administration, which is Bobby Kennedy. You know, I mean, it's strange. You know, you talk about these things heading off, our Atlantean moment clashing into the time, you know. So here we are, and these names are hovering around. And when we get into Trump, I have something kind of mind-blowing on the Trump side to bring out today. But we have to look at it and say that presidential level is very key and very crucial when looking at these things, because ultimately what they're trying to do is control that presidential level. And it was really a mockery when we had the Biden presidency, because there was no president there. It was a committee that was running it. So their ultimate fear is having someone in that seat who can see things on the same level that they do. And they certainly, they had that with Kennedy, but with Trump, they have it, because through Uncle John Trump and through his own background with Vannevar Bush, you've got, you know, Vannevar Bush was the head of the UFO file. How much did John Trump know, and how much did he give on to President Trump? And we hear all these things about President Trump will announce, you know, he's going to announce UFO disclosure this summer in July. This is a very interesting back and forth that's going on. This game has been played in public for decades. But if we're at the point where they need to reveal that, how can either side control it? And the background is clear. You know, if we have John Trump connected with the Tesla technology and we have John Trump connected with the UFO file, that means that Trump sits in the middle of that exotic technology.
And by the way, we see aspect. We're in the age of disclosure. I believe this is about to happen. What do you think?
Yes, I think we're much closer to it. You know, there's that whole thing about the atomic clock. You get closer and closer to the doomsday clock. And they're like, oh, you're 5 minutes to midnight. I think on this, the problem is we're 2 seconds to midnight on the UFO file, but also on the UFO threat aspect being thrown out there to use it.
No, I agree. The bad guys are going to throw everything they got right now, so they're losing.
No question about it. Yeah.
All right, Dark Journalist, yeah, stay there. I want to get comments from you, Thomas Siska, here when we come back. And then I want to shift gears into secret weapons, discombobulation weapons, controlled time and space, why I signed SAR 8 months ago. We know we have this, folks. We didn't stop at the bomb in the 40s. So let's talk about what's really there. All right, what's been admitted and telegraphed. Like Russia 5-6 years ago showed their secret submarine nuke, like, on purpose in that briefing. The U.S. has been showing its hand. What do the Chinese really have? What a group of brains here. Dark Journalist Daniel List, Thomas Siska, and I'm your host, Alex Jones. Stay with us. Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal. It is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months, where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before in this week, and you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. Bigley does, with all their great operations they do. So if they're able to shut down InfoWars, you can read about the news, they're still trying. It doesn't matter, because Bigley owns that, and they're our sponsor, and they've built the Alex Jones Network backup studios and are helping build the new studios. I'm just work for them in the future. I don't yet, and so they can't stop me. They'll be the owner. I'll be the news director. So you're not just funding the current operation, because they're funding InfoWars as well, like 90% of the funding. They're also funding the future. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now and take advantage of the biggest sale of the year, 52% off store-wide, and everybody buying anything should commit in the lightest, easiest way. Become a VIP for $30 a month with one click. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, discount sales on top of other sales on top of everything. If you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. The reason I say it's a very light commitment, you can cancel any time for free with one click. Just for whatever day of the month you sign up as a VIP, it rolls around every month and charges you $30. You don't like it for whatever reason, you get your $40, you spend it, you get your discounts, all that, then don't have any money at the time, whatever, you just cancel. So if you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP, because you get $40 instantly to spend in the store. You make $10, and it lowers the cost of everything you just bought on top of the sale. If you're a VIP, at 50% off, some of these products are loss leaders, meaning we're losing money. But because we have a, I didn't understand this, we have a repeat sale on the store of 98%. No one has that. On the sale of us, over 80% reorder individually. That's how good these are. So take advantage now. You have less than 48 hours. So tomorrow night at midnight. You have until tomorrow night at midnight. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
There's no doubt now, the final countdown to disclosure is happening. The old power structure is going down. The French, the UN, Ohio, Texas, New Mexico, criminal investigations of Epstein. Of course, the UN's heavily involved in all of it. The point is, it's all coming out. Mass resignations all over the world, all these top Obama people. So why is Trump involved in the cover-up? Because they're threatening to expose his wife with made-up stuff, whatever it is. Sorry, it's coming out anyways, Trump. So dark journalist, Daniel List, expert, you know, filmmaker, author, written for the Wall Street Journal, you name it, joins us on this. Got a great InfoWars researcher, Thomas Siska, riding shotgun with us. We're at this moment of disclosure. You know, we know in the 70s they had the B-2 bomber. They declassified it in 88 or whatever. We know that stuff's at least 40, 50 years ahead, depending on the technology group. And Trump now is admitting that. We have his White House science art 8 months ago saying we control time and space now. And then now Trump's saying, no, we use a discombobulation weapon on the people on the ground. We do have secret weapons. The left made jokes about that. No, this is real. I mean, I can tell you right now, I was told about folks 30 years ago about the advanced robots they had. They're even better than what we know about now. It is wild. So there's a whole system hidden from our view. Here's President Trump talking about the discombobulation weapon he said was used in Venezuela. We'll get Daniel's take on secret weapons. Here it is.
Unbelievable operation, but that was a smaller operation. But it was so precise, so incredible. Nobody thought a thing like that could happen. They even talk about the discombobulator because they never got a shot off. The Russian equipment didn't work. The Chinese equipment didn't work. Everyone's trying to figure out why it didn't work. Someday you're going to find out. But it didn't work. It's nice when you can fly in and not get shot at.
You talked about the weapon, the discombobulator. What is that?
Well, I'm not allowed to talk about it.
But what does it do?
Let me just tell you, you know what it does? None of their equipment works. That's what it does.
Everything it, was how does it, dis- it was my name. I'm very proud of the name. Everything was discombobulated. It was, you know, practically a shot wasn't, you know, they were ready.
Right.
And when we came, I mean, they couldn't do anything.
You saw this in the video. You could tell.
Tom, it discombobulated everything.
Nothing worked, even including humans.
Well, let's put it this way. We lost no equipment in a very strong, and they're good fighters, yeah. Great fighters, in a very bad environment. It was a military base, mm-hmm. The biggest in South America, in a very, because the house was in a base in South, in a very, very tough environment. We lost no men and we lost no equipment.
The discombobulator just knocked everything.
Well, it did something.
And now they admit, like, Delta Force had a little shrapnel in them. So, Daniel, this sounds like the Glock, or who knows? There's all sorts of stuff we know they've got. What's happening here?
This is torsion physics, front and center, no question about it. And we've heard about these, they call them Apotheum-style weapons, where they destroy the physical reality. So the things that we know as physical reality cease to exist. They show up a lot, oddly enough, in the UFO encounters when people
and from my layman's
time.
Understanding, there's different dimensions. It fluctuates the two dimensions. Is that a good way to say it? Or
absolutely, yeah. And they're getting closer to that. A lot of the CERN experiments were centered around what happens when you do this smashing particles. And when you get them up to a certain point, they are supposed to basically open up another dimension. And it was very interesting to note that CERN was actually sued by a group of scientists for the potential of them opening up a black hole. And there was 22 scientists that signed on to that lawsuit out of Hawaii. And interestingly enough, what happened with CERN, it was very hard to sue because CERN is a sovereign entity. Well, now we're looking at CERN 2.0, which is five times the size of the original CERN and also is five times the budget at $25 billion.
And then we have constant satanic rituals at CERN.
Yes, right. Well, the occult rituals there are documented. And here's what's unusual about the whole thing. They feel, again, that they're interacting with this etheric realm and that they can cross over into that other dimension and get instructions and all the rest. So there's a deep occult aspect. The sooner the better that we understand it, not just from a level of like a lighthearted, you know, oh, hey, you know, this might be satanic, ha-ha. They really have a foundation in an occult view, an occult version of this that goes all the way back to the 19th century in the Orphic Circle. Well, now they have the technology to try it. And interestingly enough, when we look at some of the histories of how we got to some of the great breakthroughs, they were all based around particle smashing. And that was the expertise of John Trump. He was in the business of a particle smasher. So we're looking at this as a gigantic occult interface when you look at groups like that. And they
so
do
why
have
is Trump bringing it out to threaten the Chinese?
I think so. Yeah. What's interesting, Trump is doing something. He wants to show there's been a huge X-Protect group back there, which is don't reveal the technology or other people will pick up on it. We still are developing it so it doesn't have this kind of boomerang effect. And Trump wants to put it all out there and be like, you know, we're the dominant one. We've got the technology. He has slipped up before and said that we had complete invisibility, which would explain a number of our operations recently, like the Venezuela operation, like some of the anomalies that go on in the Ukraine.
And how's that? Are they bringing them in another dimension, dropping them in, or what's happening?
Well, I think there's two aspects to this. They've devised one aspect of it to create this Havana syndrome type miscombobulation, as he's calling it. And it's interesting because I think what happens is it fluctuates the molecules. And it creates the same conditions when they've treated people who've been victims of Havana syndrome. They have microwave concussions. They have the evidence of microwave concussions. Well, we know that's a weapon that the Russians have used previously. However, these
that came out in the
60s.
They were aiming radiation, and they said microwaves at our bases.
Exactly right. I'll tell you what's weird about this one. And again, it goes to Cuba. So what's weird about Havana syndrome and the miscombobulation, discombobulation weapon that Trump is talking about is that Havana syndrome, not only does it take place in the actual locale, it follows the person. So imagine you're hit with an energy weapon of unknown origin, you know, and you feel like you're burning up or whatever it happens to be. And then you get out of the location, you think, hey, I'm all set. I'm free and dandy. This directed energy weapon takes its course with you. So if you fly in, if you're a CIA agent, you go to our embassy in Cuba at the time, you get hit with this weapon, you go back to New York City, you still have the symptoms. It's still following you. So that's unusual, I can tell you, in terms of directed energy weapons. It's usually pinpoint
location. Wouldn't that deal with the time and space?
Yes, absolutely. It does. And what's interesting, too, is the level of weaponry.
Once they target you, it doesn't matter where you go, they can still.
Yes, exactly.
That's what Trump said, like, oh, we get anywhere on Earth in 5 minutes. They just put a missile into a vortex and it hits where they want.
Exactly. Yeah, because you are now a coordinate in their system. And this is the weirdness about the new weapon.
That's why they had to have AI. They had to have AI to coordinate it.
Exactly. Right. And I think Musk made a very interesting statement recently. He said, look, we're going to put this station on the moon, the energy center. And once that happens, all the ones on the Earth will become null and void. Well, now it's the war for the moon. And everywhere you turn, the moon is becoming the focus of this battle.
Do you remember about 2 years ago when you were first coming on? I knew about before that. I told you about the meeting at the White House where they were already building the moon base and it was really a moon base.
You let out a huge thing.
I was told this by like a Delta Force guy. And I said, this is classified. He said, we're giving this to you. You're allowed to talk about it. I said, why? They said, I don't know. You're just told to talk about it. Remember that?
Yes, I do. And that's it, like, Trump's.
I talked about it seven years ago, White House. But I told you about it again. Yeah, they've already got, what I'm told is they've already got the beginnings of a base with robots right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting
is
you remember that interview, right?
You remember me telling you that?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
And I said, the first big base will be the moon. Musk is only announcing it now. How crazy is that? And why, isn't that cool they told me to say that? It's like they said, Kennedy's going to announce us on Friday. We want you to have it. Isn't that crazy? And of course, it happened, like I said, it was just crazy.
It was incredible. And I remember you saying the dark side of the moon, and I was like, that's very strange. No one was talking about it at that point. But oddly enough, the Japanese have spent a long time on the south pole of the moon, and they've been trying to disrupt.
No, I mean, I was told this by a Delta Force guy that was Elon Musk's head of security. And I'm like, what? I go, you're serious? This is classified. I said, no, they want me to tell you this. I was like, I said, why? He says, I don't know. Well, what do you think that was? Because I told you that like 2 years ago.
Wow. Well,
and then Musk announces last week, we're doing the moon base for the launch to Mars.
Well, there's a certain amount of disclosure that happens because they don't want to be blackmailed on the inside with the information, and they will let that out. The fact that he let it out with you, I think, is fascinating because it was a major disclosure at the time. People did not know what to make of it, but now we understand.
Well, they told me the whole White House meeting. They got robots, 3D printers, everything.
And what was your feeling when we were talking to him? What was he like?
I mean, I already know this guy for a while. I knew he worked for Musk then. He just said, no, I don't know. They told me to tell you this.
I was interesting. Just like, okay. Did he say who they were?
I mean, he said, I'm in the meeting with Musk and Trump. They wanted me in the meeting. And by the way, they wanted you to know this.
Interesting. Well, it was interesting when Musk turned on Trump temporarily last summer. It was very odd because it was over Jared Isaacman. And Trump was like, that guy's a Democrat. I'm not letting him head NASA. But apparently what I heard is that SpaceX wanted to consolidate all of the UFO data from NASA for their own banks. Even though Musk doesn't talk about the UFO file, he wanted the full database of everything that NASA had. And that part of their blowout was that because Isaacman wasn't controlling NASA, he would never get his hands on it. Well, now Isaacman is in there, and Trump and Musk have kind of reconciled.
By the way,
now,
I write myself into this because I'm in the middle of it, in Crossfire Hurricane, Arthur Frost, all of it. I'm all over the Epstein files. I'm attacking me, worried. It was declassified in different pieces the last few years that with their wargaming and their computers, even then they were AI, they said what Jones is doing will bring us down. That's why they land all those tens of thousands of articles, attacks. I'm not saying I'm important, folks. This is like I'm part of the story. And, of course, now you have Alex Jones and DOJ's latest Epstein release of prominent names. Jones was mentioned as a disruptive threat to the global power structure, and they added a pedo structure. So with their wargaming, they already figured out whatever was going on with me in the timeline they had to deal with, and so now they know I'm in the timeline, so the good guys dump me stuff. And they don't I don't know all the secret stuff, but it's almost like they have a time machine or something. Like it's weird what we've done here. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. They can see by looking that, these are the effects of his efforts, and here's what we need to do to derail it, basically. It's interesting they talk about that in the background, though, because I remember the first time that Hillary Clinton brought you up in a national campaign. It was 2016. And I'll be honest with you, the political class largely ignored your work and your media before that. And then, boom, Hillary Clinton was like, I'm taking the gloves off and going after you openly. So the establishment was now, the gloves are off. We're going after Alex Jones.
I was just left. Exactly. Am I bringing myself up to be back powerful? I'm wondering why they're so obsessed. Weird, you know, deal.
Well, I can tell you this, Alex. One of the things they've been very nervous about is if you talk about the UFO file. And I'll tell you why that is true. Because when you talk about the UFO file, you're coming in on the deep state level. And if the deep state level and the UFO file really ever gets together, because the UFO field is adrift, largely. There's so much information there, but they have one
The main
big
leaders
advantage.
Are like Rockefeller operatives.
Yes, exactly. And they don't, Chris Mellon is the top of the whistleblower chain, and he's a DOD billionaire who's controlling the whistleblowers. So, you know, you're not getting the cream of the crop there at all. That's a controlled either DOD, and you have three groups really operational, the NGA, the NRO, and the Central Intelligence Agency.
So is it only that I had a big audience they were worried? Because they put out more propaganda against me than you put out a country you invade.
It's the culture moving. And if you can move the culture when you come through with, you know, certain things, with your own research, your own level, and if you do it in such a way, I think with the UFO file, then it's a really big problem. Because then the CIA can't run the UFO file. They can't run the UFO file threat because that part gets popular. This is the thing that they've tried to keep down. And it's very interesting because even a lot of the UFO researchers themselves go along with the CIA, DIA disclosures because they're like, hey, I've been left in the woods for 30 years, right? A lot of them are thinking, the media never picked up on this. Here I am. I've written all these books, et cetera, et cetera. Now the CIA gives it to me. I'm on board. So the CIA has all of these groups of authors and professors and stuff who are on board with them.
Yes, who wanted to tell me? Basically, Elon Musk wanted to tell me, Trump agreed to it, that they had a base already on the moon with robots and 3D printers. That was the real launch base to Mars. And he could tell people it wasn't bullshit. The guy wasn't highly decorated, you know, real guy. Knew it. So it's just strange that they would choose me as a conduit of that.
It is. It is. That was a huge disclosure when you let it out. And then when we talked about it later, I actually got some very unusual emails after the fact. People talking about a project on the dark side of the moon that we haven't heard anything about, but you brought it up first. So
Buzz Aldrin call me and say, we've already got bases on Mars and there's a monolith on Charon, the single moon, and all everybody freaked out about that. I don't know why they just give me this stuff.
Monolith of Phobos.
Well, yeah. Buzz was in a position to know. The other guy who was in a position to know was Gordon Cooper. And in his own autobiography, he said the mission for Mars was slated 1981, and he was going to lead it. Matter of fact, he said they told him to get fit. And he said, I don't know what happened to it, you know, but obviously the mission went forward anyway. Think of all the strange things, all the Challenger explosions and all those things that take place in that era. And then look at people like Gorbachev and Reagan talking about aliens openly. It's bizarre.
Well, another one, Buzz Aldrin on air said, he said, in 2 years, the Indians are going to crash a probe in and find water. We already found it, and I want you to tell everybody about it. And then it happened 2 years later, like you said. Whoa, this is weird.
Yeah, it is. It is. And also, they're sworn to secrecy, those astronauts. The other thing is they sign up for an MKUltra-style program, which is to control them from saying anything that our enemies could use against us. But it's very easy to say, hey, you know, that bogey, that UFO, the whole thing that you saw hovering over your craft or controlled it magnetically, you're not going to mention that at all. And I don't think the idea that we need to take this mission to Mars to figure it out is very true because it looks
obvious. And by the way,
it's in the
official Apollo recordings that you can pull up. They're being followed by craft around the moon.
Yes, exactly. And they've encountered it. Cooper and many of the astronauts talk about it openly, that not only when they were flying, training for the missions, not only were UFOs showing up, they were flying in their same formation. So they were mirroring their activities to be like, hey, we've got your number. So there's a third operator up there in space. This is the problem. You've got us and you have the other superpower nations. And then what? You know, this third force operating. That's the thing that they're keying in on. That's where the talk for the Golden Dome comes from.
Yeah, what is the Golden Dome really about?
Well, it's a $300 billion project right off the bat. Okay, that's a lot of money to spend even for a defense project. Second, it's clearly dedicated and right around this whole thing about Greenland. there's a weird thing with Greenland right off the bat is it seems like the Nazis got there very early on. They were looking for something. And there's obviously been this mythology about Greenland for a number of years. There's a prediction in the mystery school literature of Edgar Cayce that Greenland will at one point become this kind of oasis, you know, and that land will rise around Greenland. So I think all these people are aware of it.
And I've seen the White House say that, oh, Greenland's about to become green and it's about to have, I saw them say that.
Exactly. Trump, yeah, I mean, Trump has really gone open with this. He wasn't in the stealth background trying to get his hands on, you know, information about Greenland. He was putting it right out front. He's like, you know, we might take it by force even. Why would you be saying that about Greenland? It's absurd, right? Unless it was related directly to the Golden Dome. Now, the secondary purpose of the Golden Dome is this extraterritorial factor that's out there, and that's the UFO file defense grid. And if you look, there's an executive order right at the end of the year that Trump puts out. It's all about the moon. It has some weird things in there about withdrawing us from the space station, which is a weird thing to do. But it's all about having an active space station by 2028 on the moon. Well, look, hello, the last time we went up to the moon is 1972. Where have you been for 54 years? You know, obviously,
and once you're believing all that, obviously the space program we were told is fake. But I was told by people that worked directly on the Apollo missions that know it was a cover for a whole other real project.
Yes, absolutely. There's no question. I mean, they encountered things that they could not talk about. They found ruins. They had an entirely different experience from what we were told. Everything we were shown, look, it's 1968. Can we admit that 55 years ago, the government kind of put one over on us? I don't think that we didn't go to the moon, but the way it was portrayed, the way it was filmed and everything else is obviously, you know, not authentic by a long shot. And they had no way even for them to take pictures the way that they did at that point. So the entire Apollo project was, in many ways, we have this extra technology.
A PR production, but it wasn't a lie because there was a project. It was just a Hollywood version of what was happening.
Well, see, I'm glad that you mentioned DeGlocka because this is the special
the discombobulator sounds like DeGlock.
It does, and that is the Nazi bell, and they were testing that at the end of the war with General Dornberger, and Dornberger was the one that they spirited out and sent to Argentina to continue, and so they had a program that was grandfathered in, and the Nazi bell program became the advanced weapons and advanced space program, and that's why every time we were grabbing a paperclip scientist, all of them were questioned, did you know anything about this Glocka piece, because the Glock part was the most advanced weapons system that the Germans had at the end of the war. And instead of just giving that up to the Allies coming in, they killed the scientists associated with it. That's on record. And then they fled with the General Kammler all the way to Argentina. Later, this whole thing about Kecksburg came up, 1965 crash. And the Kecksburg crash, the thing that all the witnesses look at, looks exactly like the Nazi bell. So, you know, we have that crossover. Obviously, we got it to do other things. But the basic idea is that with torsion physics, it makes the nuclear energy look like a firecracker. So it would make a nuclear bomb look like a firecracker. It's so destructive because it is actually setting off and hitting out against different dimensions. So, you know, it's basically simultaneously this destruction is happening, but it's an exotic technology. And that's why so many of the curious things have happened around UFO researchers, especially in the first years, because they were very close to this idea.
Well, you described everybody had to work around it, got discombobulated.
Yes, exactly.
So if you have robot crafts that don't get sick by it, they could go project it.
Yes, exactly. And when you have guys who go in and look at these things back then, they didn't have any idea. We've had all kinds of cultures. We've had TV shows. We've had movies, you name it, specials for years. We understand something about it. Back then, it was just like, what is this thing? You walk in, there's no protection, there's nothing. And when you read the earliest story, which is the Aztec case, what you find out is those scientists, they were in there long enough, they started to see other things. So I'm in there, I'm looking at a craft, you know, there's dead aliens, whatever it is. And then I start to see other things because my own psychic ability is being awakened by being inside the thing. This is the aspect of it, which is, it's the psychic technology piece. You only
Which is in the Bible when the flying saucers land Ezekiel and like eight other times, he starts hallucinating.
Exactly.
Having visions.
Right. He's
same thing in 2001. Totally, they touch the obelisk, you know.
Right. Exactly. He's opening up to a totally different consciousness. Well, we discover all that years later with, you know, magic mushrooms and LSD and all the rest of it. And what's taking place there, though, is very interesting, because just by being in the presence, your consciousness is lifted. So when you're around this piece of technology, it's because of the magnetic piece, and it's because of the idea of this otherness of the technology, because we're not aware of it. It opens up our own human abilities. Now, what's interesting is the accounts of it always play into three different factors. Time disappears, one, is a crucial factor. Two, they envision something. It's either, you know, we've heard the whole cliche about different types of aliens, but they encounter something, a different type of intelligence for sure. But three, they seem to have their whole lives flash before them, the same way people in near-death experiences do. Well, I find that interesting because Thomas Townsend Brown, who was one of the darkest, he was a great scientist, but he worked on some of the blackest projects in the government. And he had developed something called the acoustic fan, and the effect of it being demonstrated is whoever stepped in front of it would see not only everything they had done in their lives up to that moment, but everything that they would do and the effects that they would have.
An interdimensional gate.
Yes, exactly. And that takes us into a totally different level. So we start to understand, well, these people, when they're dealing with these things, whether it's sacred objects or advanced technology, they're looking at them from a kind of esoteric occult point of view. And if we can at least see it through...
Which the occult is a study of this, doesn't mean it's all perfect, but that is the true research of it. That is the interface of this. That's the Rosetta Stone.
It is, yeah. One of my favorite things in a lot of that esoteric literature is the idea that our minds don't comprehend things till about 20 years after the fact. So all the things that have taken place, the reason there's deja vus, the reason people predict things and all the rest of it is because we are very slow to observe everything that's actually happening.
All right, and, I know you got to go soon. I want Thomas Sisk to be able to comment. And we've got a great guest, Jason Burmes, coming up. Can you do like 10 more minutes?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, I want you to come back more and more because I've been wanting to get you on a wide. We get you on sooner. Because this is all coming out. This is the age of disclosure, folks, and it's just so amazing. And I can tell you how real this is. I've told my own personal stories. I have dreams that come true. I've told people like Trump will win at 127 tonight. I just know this thing happens, and I told you just as God said, go ahead and show them. And, it gets a little weird, but this stuff is all very real, okay? They don't want you to know about it. And we have all the power the establishment has. They want to keep it hidden from us. They have control. Please remember tonight, the big sale ends. It funds our operation, the ultra red, blue, and blue, all of it, 50% off site-wide, and it funds our operation. So take advantage of that, thealexshowstore.com. Dark Journalist is our guest, Dark Journalist on X, and the great Thomas Sisk is our guest. Hour number four, straight ahead. Now, this is an emergency flash sale. It funds our operation, and these are incredible products. This is the biggest sale of the year right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Store-wide, all the supplements, all the apparel, the ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it, the hoodies, the sweaters, the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, our proprietary ultramethylene red, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, all of it until tomorrow at midnight. We extended it one day, store-wide, 52% off. So I'm saying this live on air on February 17th, Tuesday. Tomorrow, February 18th at midnight Central Time, the sale will end. Store-wide, 52% off. Ends tomorrow night at midnight. This is an alert. Your support keeps us on air, and I thank you so much, and I want to give back to you. For those on the fence, I want you to experience ultramethylene blue, ultramethylene red, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum. It's a private label, the top brand in the country, 2,000 milligrams per little scoop. So good for your skin, your hair, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that comes off a cow or any other mammal. It is incredible. And this is the final week. This only happens every few months. Where you don't just, every time you make a purchase, get put in one time in the raffle for whatever cool American-made supercar they're having, off-road, Mustangs, you name it. You get put in 100X into the raffle, which they've never done before, in this week. And you get put in to win both vehicles, both the F-250 diesel and the Ford Mustang Shelby. That is a huge deal, and $20,000 cash. So go to thealexjonesstore.com now.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.